again, we're going to look together into the Word of God to discover what God would teach us. And we know that we have to look at each verse as we go along very carefully, comparing Scripture with Scripture, because otherwise we will never understand. And you know, we've been in the book of Jeremiah for some time, and my, some of those verses, when you first look at them, you wonder, what in the world does that have to do with the gospel? How are we going to understand that? And it's only by very, very careful examination and comparing Scripture with Scripture, praying, and we have to keep praying all the time, oh Lord, open our eyes to truth, because otherwise we'll never make it. Sometimes when I study commentaries or references from others that are trying to understand these verses, they kind of shake their heads. We don't understand this. We don't know. It could be this. It could be that. And it's very obvious they haven't the slightest clue as to what God is speaking about. We, of course, have had our eyes open to the fact that Christ spoke in parables, and that every statement in the Bible that is not apparently directly identified with the gospel probably is a parabolic statement, a metaphorical statement, and we simply have to look for the spiritual meaning. Now, that doesn't mean everything is solved now just because we have decided that, but at least we're a long ways on the path to find truth. Now, in verse 21, let's go back to Jeremiah 23, and God has some more things to say about the local congregations that he is typifying by the prophets and priests and the kings and the nation of Judah back there in the year 587 BC and thereabouts. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. Now, what does that mean? I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. If we look at Psalm 147, verse 15, that's a good verse that explains this, and I want to give a couple more verses. But first of all, Psalm 147, verse 15. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth, his word runneth very swiftly. In other words, there's a haste to send out the gospel. It has to get out there as rapidly as possible. There is a haste. There is a pressure on us. Get the gospel out. Now, you got to be sure it's the true gospel, but it's got to go out. And therefore, we in Family Radio, for example, are constantly looking for another opportunity, another frequency, another radio station that might be able to carry Family Radio, another method in which we can assist in our effort to blanket the whole world with the gospel. And we can't let up on that. We have to just stay with that. The gospel has to run. But isn't it interesting, going back to Jeremiah 23, where we read about these false prophets? They also ran. And isn't it interesting that when you listen to radio or TV, what kind of a gospel do you normally hear? And it is a false gospel, altogether a false gospel. They really have no understanding of the biblical statement concerning the nature of salvation. And they also are running out there. They're trying as best they can to reach as many people as quickly as possible with their false ideas, exactly as God has predicted here. I have not sent these prophets, those who come with a gospel that is not altogether faithful to the Word of God. They were not sent by Christ. They were sent by man's effort to, under the power of Satan, to circumvent, to provide a substitute gospel, so that people would not come to the Lord Jesus Christ, but come to Satan thinking they are coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God goes on, I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. Now, verse 22. Now, this verse turns out to be an exceedingly interesting verse. You may not think so when you first read it, but I'll tell you, it's a very significant verse. If they had stood in my counsel, talking about these false prophets, and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Now, when we read that, the first conclusion we develop is, well, you mean that if we present the real truth of the Word of God, this guarantees that the person that hears it is going to become saved. No, we can't go that far. We can't go that far because only God's elect will become saved under any kind of circumstance. But this verse is telling us why the churches have been so ineffective, why they have been so ineffective. When the preachers and the pastors and the theologians and the Bible teachers have been giving a gospel that is not faithful to the Word of God, even though those people are under the hearing of the Word of God, even though they're under the hearing of the Word of God, they have a Bible. Now, God can work around this if there's someone who is elect of God, but God is just simply giving his overall description of how this works. That first of all, there has to be the Bible available, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Then there has to be the availability of God the Holy Spirit to apply that Word to the hearts of those who have become saved. But what happens if here is someone in a congregation and they have the Bible and they have a pastor that is teaching them? Now, you listen to me. You listen to me. I'm going to tell you how to understand this, like the priests do in the Roman Catholic Church, but the pastors do that in the Protestant churches. It's really no different. It's just more of the same. I'm going to tell you how to understand this. And so they can physically, with their physical eyes, that person in the pew or listening to the pastor can read that verse. And yet the pastor, if he has got a misunderstanding of what that verse is teaching, is neutralizing. He is negating that verse. So that what finally comes into the mind of that individual is something contrary to the Word of God. On the other hand, if the pastor is faithfully presenting what that verse teaches, then God uses that to build the setting for the application of that verse to the life of that individual. Now, obviously, we know that this cannot be in place of or supersede God's election program. You can be in a church you can have a wrong pastor, a pastor teaching the wrong doctrines, and yet God, as you read the Bible, God can save you. But that's fairly rare. That's fairly rare. Because what happens? What happens? If you really become a child of God, we can look at it, what's happening in the churches of our day. Those who really are listening to truth, what's the next thing that happens? They're driven out. You are making a commotion in our church. You are causing confusion. Why are you here? Why don't you get out? If for those who remain in the churches when the pastor is teaching wrong truth, that indicates that they are comfortable there. They are trusting the pastor. That is their authority. And so if the pastor is not, or the Bible teacher is not bringing truth, it is not an environment, even though the Bible is there, where God is going to save very many people. But here God is saying that if you had been bringing the true understanding, if you had if you had stood in my counsel, in other words, really bringing the truth of the Bible, then I would work through that to save a great many people in your congregation. And of course, God has the master plan as to how he fits all of this together. It all has to fit in accordance with the way God wants it to be, but that is the program. In other words, it isn't just that someone hears the Bible or has a Bible. That's a good beginning. It's if they have, the next thing is, who is guiding them into the Bible? Now, it's true, if this is 1-year-old, nobody's guiding them into the Bible. God can save that person simply because they're hearing the Word of God. The Holy Spirit always is, first of all, in control. But in God's divine plan of sending out the gospel, the ideal environment is where a person has the Bible, and then as he reads it, scratching his head and praying for wisdom, he can hear from a teacher who is faithful to the Word of God, what does the Bible say? Now, the reason I'm particularly interested in this, and I think it's very significant, is that here we are in Family Radio, and we are desperately and trying to be as faithful as possible to teach precisely what the Bible teaches. And we're ready to be criticized, we're ready to be corrected, if anybody can correct from the Word of God, because we want to be faithful. Now, on the one hand, we are able to send the gospel out. On the one hand, we're able to send the gospel out so that people know it's very, very wise, very necessary that you hear from the Word of God, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But then we're able to back it up by saying, listen on your shortwave radio or on your internet or however you're able to hear, or send for some materials, and we will guide you into the Word of God so that you will have some encouragement in understanding the truth of the Word of God. And that is the ideal setup for a great multitude of new believers, for a rich harvest. And this is the first time in the history of the church age, or in the world, actually. This is the first time when God has opened the eyes of believers so that we really know what the truth is. We really know what salvation is. We know that the Bible is a law book. We know that God's justice was perfectly satisfied through the Lord Jesus Christ. And just so many things that have never been known before. So the environment for the world to provide, for God to provide a rich harvest of souls is there, because the truth is going out by Bible teachers by radio and internet and so on, as well as the fact that the Bibles are available. This also, incidentally, helps us to understand a statement Jesus made in Mark chapter 4, which I've always had a little difficulty with, but now I can begin to see why he said this. In Mark 4, Christ is making a big deal about the fact that he spoke in parables. And he said he had just given the parable of the sower that went forth to sow. And then in verse 10, and when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable. Later on, when we go to verse 34, we read, but without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. All right, now in other words, Christ spoke in parables, and then he explained these parables. And how does he explain the spiritual meanings of the Bible? He explains through his Holy Spirit, but he utilizes also faithful teachers in order to assist in this. But going on from Mark 4, verse 11, he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand. Now, so far, we're just shocked at that. We're shocked at that already. In fact, I was talking to someone recently And I said, you know, God purposely wrote the Bible in such a way that a lot of people can't understand. And they looked at me as in an astounded way. You what? Come on, you're out of your mind. God wrote the Bible so people can become saved. Well, their problem is they're not listening to the Bible. But here it says, he says that seeing they may see, Christ very purposefully wrote in parables so that the sentences he gave were hard to understand, so that they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sin should be forgiven them. In other words, they are not one of God's elect. God has no intention to save them. Therefore, he doesn't even get them close to truth at all. It's not required. He leaves them in their unbelief. But on the other hand, when he wants to save somebody, then the ideal situation is that he spoke in a parable, that a parable is explained so that we understand the spiritual meaning of it. And through this, as we read in verse 34, when they were alone, he expounded the parables to them. And through this, he saves a great multitude. And so when we put this all together, we can understand, we can see how God has put all the pieces in place. He's put all the pieces in place. At this time, when he has given them the opportunity to run the gospel out as far as possible, as quickly as possible, he has also given us, he has opened our spiritual eyes so that we know where the real truth is, so that there is an environment where not only people have the Bible, which God has been getting out there for the past, particularly the last couple of hundred years. Hundreds of millions of Bibles have been distributed all over the world and are in people's possession. But also that he now has given teachers that people can listen to and know where the truth is, because where the truth is explained, that sets an environment where there's going to be a lot more fruit than if that was not available. And that is available in our day. And so we read here in verse 22, if they had stood in my counsel, these false prophets, if they had listened, that is, if they had been faithful to the word of God and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. And of course, this also explains why earlier on we had looked at why God anticipated that throughout the church age the harvest would be very minimal, very, very minimal. And we see this dramatically, and it grieves me no end to think of it. We see this as we look at the local congregations that are so blissfully going along, thinking all is well. We're a saved membership of the body of Christ, and we don't know when Christ will come, but we're ready whenever he might come. And they don't want to listen anything to anything more from the Bible. Their church has it all. Their church has everything they need. It has taught them, and they've done all the things their church has required. And so these verses just fit in perfectly. Now he goes on in verse 23. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. The point God is making here, I believe, is that any Bible teacher, any theologian, whatever they are teaching, God hears every word. They don't ever have to think that, well, I'm teaching this because I believe it is true, and I know that somehow God has given blanket approval for the fact that I've received an anointing, some kind of an unction from the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I don't have to worry about anything. Every word that comes out of the mouth of any human being, including these teachers who profess to be the servants of God, they have been called by God, they have been anointed by God, they have been ordained, they have, you've heard pastor after pastor say that they received a call to go into the ministry. I don't know how they received their call. That can vary from person to person. Makes no difference. The issue is not that they received a call, but what are they teaching? What are they teaching? And if whatever they're teaching, whether it's good or bad, God hears every word. Now, that also means that if we believe we are called to declare the word, and every witness, every true believer has been given that mandate to declare the word to his neighbor, we want to make certain that what we are teaching is the word of God, is the word of God, that we are being faithful because God is listening. God is listening. He's up there in the heavens, but he's also there right here present with every human being who is speaking the word. God is deeply concerned. It's bad enough that he knows about all the wicked of the world. He knows that too. But the moment someone claims that he is a child of God and he's got a witness to tell, and he's going to be utilizing the Bible in any way, God is emphasizing he is listening carefully, and we have to answer to what we are saying. Do not I fill heaven and earth? Verse 25, I have heard what that prophet said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. Now, in our next study, we have to look at this phrase, I have dreamed, because you don't hear preachers say that very often. In our day, we hear it a little more than in some other days because of the charismatic movement, and they're looking for dreams and visions and so on. And that makes a very powerful emphasis on this right here. But next time, as we continue our study, we want to examine that word dreamed a little bit to see what the import of that is and why God is using that kind of language. But the one thing we don't want to forget, and that is how important it is that we are faithful to the Word of God. And here God, in this lesson today, he has given us a very positive assurance why it is that he has opened our spiritual eyes so that we know much more truth from the Bible, and he's given us an inclination or desire to be absolutely faithful to the Bible. It is because God's program calls for the inclusion of a great multitude, which no man can number, into the kingdom of God in these latter times when we're just about to the end of time. So everything fits together in a very beautiful way.